Moses had lived 40 years in the wilderness. In the last few weeks, he had a special meeting with God. Most of you will know, if you've been any time in a study of God's Word, that that was the occasion when the Lord spoke to him out of a bush that was burning, but not consumed. During his conversation and during Moses' communion with the Lord gave him instructions, gave him a calling and a commission. Moses had received instruction on what to do and what to say to Pharaoh in order to lead the people out of Egypt. We find that summed up for us in verses 21 and 23. The Lord said unto Moses, "When thou goest to return into Egypt, see that thou do all those wonders before Pharaoh which I have put in thine hand, those things that I have given to thee, represented in the rod that the Lord blessed with special power in the sight and the presence of Moses to confirm his calling of him." And then we read in verse 22 and 23, "And he gives him what to say, and thou shalt say unto Pharaoh, Thus saith the Lord, Israel is my son, even my firstborn. I say unto thee, let my son go, that he may serve me. If thou refuse to let him go, behold, I will slay thy son, even thy firstborn." And there you see all that Moses related to Pharaoh in different forms at different times, but the gist of it, the message, combined with the works that the Lord would use to bring his people out. Nothing was hidden. Nothing was withheld, even from the very beginning of what Moses was to go and to say to Pharaoh. And I am fairly confident, though we begin to find some difficulties, that that was the import that Moses laid before Pharaoh right from the very beginning. All that is said to us, summed up for us in this portion of Scripture. This all seems well and good. Moses will go to Egypt and Pharaoh and present the Lord's terms, and Israel will leave. Only a madman would turn the words of God upon their head and insist upon the death of his firstborn. Try God's promise, God's patience, God's power, and God's kindness. Yet, this is what Pharaoh does. Yes, these terms seem simple and straightforward, except for one difficulty: hardness of Pharaoh's heart. And the way that it's put to us in the Scriptures, "I will harden Pharaoh's heart." That difficulty in the Scripture immediately sets a thinking person's mind to work. Did God want to kill Pharaoh's son? Did God make Pharaoh unwilling to let the children of Israel go? These and other unholy questions are the tools of those who want to question God and His Word and break down the faith and trust of those who have tasted and seen that the Lord is good. There are many difficult things in the Bible, things that are not readily grasped immediately, things that can never be fully comprehended. We use the great illustrations reverently of the Trinity, and even of Dr. Paisley's own words and of men who have quoted to emphasize the fact that if I could ever understand the Trinity, it would not be a Trinity, because I would have to be part of it. We say that reverently. It will never be fully grasped, or fully comprehended. If it were not the case that there were difficulties in the Bible, that it was above our thoughts and our understanding, then the Bible could not be the Word of God. We tell our children things. Many times they don't understand. Yet over time and with guidance, they begin to grasp. With tenderness, with affection, with experience, with a practiced hand and the wisdom of an adult, they begin to comprehend. generals and captains of soldiers often tell their troops to do things that at first blush do not seem to be wise. And they don't and often never explain themselves. Yet soldiers obey and are more often than not benefited and protected by their swift and courageous obedience. So it is with God. But on a spiritual and far more serious and important plane, it is here at the very beginning of God's purpose and plan that the devil would make an effort to get into the minds of God's people, or get into the minds of those seeking to understand the Word of God, and to present difficulties and question God, and bring things into the mind that, like Adam and Eve, caused them to enter disbelief, unbelief, and rebellion. What is this hardening of Pharaoh's heart? Well, first of all, let's look at what it is not. It is not the infusion or the infliction by God of depravity. Let's not forget our doctrine. Let's remember to interpret the Scripture in the light of the Scripture. Depravity was already present in Pharaoh. His heart was already hard against God. He was already an idolater before God ever did his work of hardening his heart. Depravity is already there. God did not put it in Pharaoh's heart. It is not making a good man bad or causing a good man to do something that he would not otherwise do. Pharaoh's heart was already set against the children of Israel and against their God. Pharaoh's heart was the source of his desire and his determination to kill all the male children that were born to Israel's mothers. Pharaoh's heart was the source, long before Moses ever spoke to him, the desire to afflict the children of Israel and bring them under hard labor and hard bondage and make them servants for his own glory. Hardening of Pharaoh's heart is not even the increasing of his sin, though Pharaoh's sin was most assuredly increased in the hardening of his heart. The word means to intensify. The word to harden is the word used to intensify. In its different applications, it can be used both positively to intensify the faith of an individual, or to intensify their unbelief. God brought events into Pharaoh's life that intensified the desires and convictions that were already there. Look at it as the difficulty of rush hour traffic as a crude example. It's already difficult to travel down the road. But then an accident happens, or something, a road construction, or something is reared up in the middle of the road, and that makes it even harder, sometimes impossible to get by, so that the traffic has to be diverted. That's what's occurring here, in spiritual terms. God is bringing events into Pharaoh's life that intensify the hardness that is already there. Let us not forget that the Scriptures, just alongside in this passage of Scripture, until Pharaoh's demise or the destruction of Pharaoh in Exodus chapter 14, there is another element placed right alongside with the reality of God hardening Pharaoh's heart, and that is that Pharaoh hardened his own heart. So many times these things are left off as unholy thoughts come from taking part of God's Word, making applications on it instead of looking at all of it. How important is it that we learn to interpret the Word of God by the Word of God. Jehovah brought judgment upon Pharaoh according to truth in the 10 plagues. In each of those plagues, Pharaoh's heart was hardened and God hardened his heart. I want to impress upon you that there is grace and kindness to be found in this hardening of Pharaoh's heart. First to Pharaoh himself. The revelation of God to Pharaoh displayed the enmity of Pharaoh's heart against Israel and against Israel's God to the point that even Pharaoh could see it. If you look over in Exodus chapter 9, verse 27, we have startling words. This is on the occasion when, under the plagues of God, the judgment of God, Pharaoh cries out, sent in verse 27, called for Moses and Aaron, and said unto them, I have sinned this time. The Lord is righteous, and I and my people are wicked. That is a holy utterance. And as far as I can read in the Scriptures, that is as close as Pharaoh ever came to heaven. And it was very close. It was like many who have come across the revelation of God and His truth and His greatness and His power and His authority have recognized His righteousness, His holiness, His goodness. And yet, it was only for a time. If it weren't for those words, I have sinned this time. Oh, what could have happened in Pharaoh's heart? If only he had recognized himself as a sinner for all time. The hardness of his heart to be that of his own depravity, of his own wickedness. But more than that, hardening Pharaoh's heart was a means of showing God's greatness, His favor, and His kindness to all the earth. Tonight, we are looking at God's purpose in hardening Pharaoh's heart. I want to draw your attention to 3 statements. First of all, it shows God's authority over wicked rulers. The primary reason for hardening Pharaoh's heart was for God's glory. It was to demonstrate all that God is in the earth. We forget, I think, that the hardening of Pharaoh's heart was subordinate to the work of God delivering His people from Egypt. That was the primary purpose. And in order to do that, God would demonstrate His authority over this wicked ruler. Please recognize that Egypt had a very great civilization. It was a powerful empire. It was the greatest empire of its time. In all the world, there was nothing that could match their technology, that could match their military excellence, that was better for a strategic situation, that was blessed with the fertile delta area of the Nile, and the provision, the produce, the prosperity that was supplied by the reality of the Nile River in their midst. They were brilliant in their time, and for means of irrigation, planting crops, they turned a desert land into a flowering garden. But Egypt's great civilization was centered in an awful idolatry that centered in the worship of Pharaoh. people were led to believe and were forced to believe, really, that all of the benefits that they knew, all of the greatness that they found, all of the pleasantries that they enjoyed in their life, the protection of their armies, that no civilization could withstand, was all attributed to Pharaoh. It was all to be attributed to Pharaoh. We tend to forget this about Pharaoh and the hardening of his heart. We tend to forget that he was a wicked man who made himself to be God, who took unto himself the glory of God, allowed himself to be worshipped as God, and would not give the slightest token. Thanksgiving and gratitude to the God of the Israelites. He was a wicked man. And wicked men deserve destruction. God is just and right. And he demonstrates his authority over this king, this Pharaoh, to show that he is greater than Pharaoh. If you've studied the plagues, you'll know that each one of the 10 plagues of Egypt corresponds to an element of their dogma, of their idolatry. And every aspect of those plagues was designed to heighten the Egyptians and Pharaoh's awareness that their idols were not sufficient against the power of Israel's God. God was in authority over them. While Israel never lifted a finger against the Egyptians, they were subject to the destruction of their crops, their cattle, and their lands. All of their great prosperity was destroyed. They would find and see the destruction of their empire to such a point that they were only an influence in their small corner of the world instead of in all the world. And that they were not even at times an influence in their own small corner of the world. They would see the decimation of their army. That which had been so carefully thought out for so many years, advanced and developed upon. We don't understand these things. We don't know that they're of their skill in warfare, of the advancement and the technology of their chariots, of their bows, of their weaponry, so on and so forth, of their strategies to protect their land, which was not protected by mountains, although it was protected by water to a large degree. We didn't understand their ability in boats and shipping. We don't get that. This was a powerful place. Yet the Lord was pleased to show his greater authority over it, his greater power. The point of this, that the rulers of this age, this wicked age, cannot usurp God's purpose and plan. They will never accept this. Thus, they are hardened for destruction. Read of Sihon, whose heart was hardened when the children of Israel wanted to go through. And yet he knew of Egypt. He knew of the overthrow of it. We read of the Philistines, who made a great deal out of this, as we'll look at a little bit farther later. This was a widespread act. It was a demonstration of God's glory and of his greatness for all the world to know. Yet the rulers of this world, the rulers of wickedness, will not accept the authority of God. They will not accept the authority of his church. And they hasten themselves on to destruction, day after day, week after week, year after year. Before I leave this first point, I want to make the point tonight that those who align themselves with the rulers of wickedness in this world, with those governors, with those mighty men of influence, in whatever sphere, those who long for that place are bringing themselves under the same judgment of Pharaoh in Egypt. Throughout history, God's purposes have never been usurped. God's plan has never been overthrown. And it will not be to the end of this age. God's authority over wicked rulers is demonstrated. His power over them is shown. Chapter 10 and verse 1. He wants to display His signs over the land of Israel. Chapter 14, verse 4, He will get honor to Himself as a result of hardening Pharaoh's heart. The wicked rulers of this age are merely pawns for God's glory, and all that set themselves against Him merely raise themselves up to be cut off. God's authority over wicked rulers is demonstrated. Secondly, it shows God's ability for His people. Here again we begin to come to the heart. God's ability for His people is demonstrated in the hardening of Pharaoh's heart. The wisdom of God is marvelous. It is beyond our searching, it is beyond finding out. We look back upon the history of Egypt and we see that He raised up Egypt for the benefit of His people. He's the one who situated the earth. He's the one who placed the Nile in the place where it was. He's the one who led the sons of Noah down from the land of Canaan into this fertile valley. You see in Pharaoh's dream and Joseph's interpretation the wonderful display of God's wisdom, providence. How that He instructed Pharaoh regarding famine in the land. This was to make Egypt great. And it did make Egypt great. All nations were drawn into Egypt during this great famine. They came to Pharaoh for food. A different Pharaoh. Pharaoh whose heart was softened. We tend to forget that too. Even another idolatrous man. God was merciful and lenient for the accomplishment of His purposes, for His glory, and for the redemption of His people. Here is the eye of God in this world, in the history of this world. It is for the redemption of His people. Israel knew Pharaoh's kindness in Joseph's day. Israel, by Israel I mean Jacob and his sons, they came down into the land. Pharaoh greeted them warmly. He gave them of the best of the land for them to situate in. God did this to display His ability on behalf of His people, to order events. He brought them into Egypt, the display of His wisdom. And He brought them out of Egypt, and the display of His greatness and of His power on their behalf. Egypt is known worldwide. I want that to be an impression upon you. There was a great scope of its influence upon all the world. And all the world was to behold God's favor to Israel. A poor, enslaved people brought out of the greatest empire of the age. Brought out of cruel bondage. Brought out of strict slavery, great affliction and persecution. On display here is the Lord's love and affection. First of all, to His people, but in a greater sense, to all the poor and the despised, the persecuted and the tormented. God has an eye for them. He has an eye to those who are without the world's favor. And He displays and demonstrates His favor on their behalf. Oh, fear not! God has an eye to your plight tonight if you are cast down, if you are under the thumb, if you are poor and struggling, wondering often where, how you're going to take your next step in this life or find your next meal. God has an eye towards you and He has an ability to deliver. The point we must not miss here is that redemption is the key. All of these things are for the purpose of bringing you unto salvation, bringing the sinner out of his sin and into the light and fellowship of God. All of it is for the point of establishing Israel in the land so that they might demonstrate the redemptive plan of God to all the world. There's no small thing that God does here, hardening Pharaoh's heart. It is no unimportant thing. It is no despised thing. It is no wicked thing. It is that which we should look at with awe, humility, admiration, reverence. It is that which should kindle in our hearts the fear of the Lord. Recognition of His authority and His ability on display. Finally, tonight, hardening of Pharaoh's heart shows God's amenability towards sinners. God is amenable towards sinners. And the word amenable simply means He's kind. He's willing to make a gesture of friendship. He's open. Friendly. He's not withheld or drawn aside or desirous to push you away. Amenable. The wonderful thought here, the sobering thought here, I hope will move our hearts and souls, is that God does not treat all sinners like Pharaoh. He has the right to treat all sinners like Pharaoh. That's what we deserve. And He can get great glory to His name by treating all sinners, or could have, by treating all sinners like Pharaoh. But He did not. In fact, He is very kind, long-suffering, and merciful. You can count on one hand the number of references in Scripture where God hardens the heart of a ruler. Pharaoh, Sihon, the cities of Judah, of Canaan, in the time when Israel came into their land. And none of them are specified. They're all lumped together as one. All of them were hardened against the Lord. God hardened their hearts. But it was to show His amiability towards sinners. His kindness. It was a gesture. I don't treat all men like this. And I won't. This in no way makes a hero out of Pharaoh. As we've already established, that he was a wicked man. Shows us the reality of looking upon these things in the light of God's Word. How many times was the Lord merciful? How many times did He take men like Ahab, who were wicked, and like Pharaoh, recognized their sin and made some sort of repentance? And God blessed him. God was merciful toward him. How many times do we read of men like Ahaz, who refused to submit to the works of will of the Lord. Yet God showed him a sign, a wonderful, marvelous sign. Sign of God's favor to this world. God with us, Emmanuel, the Son of the Virgin. It's very kind, long-suffering, and merciful to the vast, vast, vast majority of undeserving sinners. Indeed, He was kind, long-suffering, and merciful even to those with the hardest of hearts. Look at the lives of Balaam and Judas. Two men who were privileged to look upon the very revelation of God. Balaam, by vision, gazed upon the Christ of God, saw the star, the scepter of Judah, the star of Israel. Judas walked with the Lord for 3 years. Yet their hearts were hardened against the Lord. Great mercy is shown, far greater than what our puny minds can make up of a vicious attack against God, against His greatness, against His authority, His ability. And this work of hardening Pharaoh's heart, sought to make clear throughout this text, that has made this greatness known far and wide. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 6. 1 Samuel chapter 6. Context is the Philistines with the Ark of the Covenant. And they didn't know what to do under the affliction of God. They brought the Ark into their own idolatrous temples. In chapter 6, they're trying to figure out what to do. They decide to make 5 golden emerods and 5 golden mice to send with the ark back into Israel. And in verse 6, we read of their knowledge and their actions and why, what motivated them. Wherefore then do ye harden your hearts as the Egyptians and Pharaoh hardened their hearts when He, God, had wrought wonderfully among them? Did they not let the people go, and they departed? The urging of the Philistines there is to learn the lesson that has been set down centuries before their time. Learn the lesson of Pharaoh's hardness and the hardening of his heart. See the greatness of God, His favor and His kindness. And don't harden your own heart. The danger that comes upon every soul is the hardening of our own hearts. Pharaoh was active in doing this. There is far more in God's word about hardening our own hearts than of God hardening our hearts. The warning of this message in closing to our souls is found in 2 Kings. 2 Kings chapter 17. We read in verse 13, the Lord speaking against Israel and against their sin and their idolatry. He says, yet the Lord testified against Israel and against Judah by all the prophets and by all the seers, saying, turn ye from your evil ways and keep my commandments and my statutes according to all the law which I commanded your fathers and which I sent to you by my servants the prophets. Notwithstanding the mercy and grace of God, notwithstanding His own word, His prophets, to the power of His Spirit to them, they would not hear, but hardened their necks like to the neck of their fathers. They did not believe in the Lord their God. It's a sobering thought that under the clear, plain teaching of Scripture, under the gracious preaching the Word of God, under the appointment and the argumentation that shows God, even in His most serious and most judgment, the greatest judgment in this world of hardening Pharaoh's heart, still merciful and kind. The reality of that light, men still will not come to Him. They will not believe, but they will harden their hearts. God's purpose in hardening Pharaoh's heart is for His own glory. It shows His power, His overarching greatness in all the earth. It shows His favor and kindness to the vast majority of hardened, wicked men and women. It shows His love and compassion, His favor for those who trust in Him through faith in His Son. Oh, harden not your heart against the Lord. Beware of every endeavor of the devil and of wicked men and women to raise up questions about God and about His Word. Look at God's Word thoroughly. Look at it faithfully. Look at it simply. Believe. Lord would have us to see Him. Not just see Him in all of His kindness and benevolence. For He does want us to see that. Moses makes a great deal of that. But He would have us see Him in all His glory. And if we continue in unbelief, resist His Word and His works, most specifically demonstrated in Christ. If we harden our hearts, He will harden our hearts. And like Pharaoh, you will be cut off. Removed from any and all opportunity for blessing, and established, set up, fixed forever in the depravity of your own soul and your hatred against God and against His people.